Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
We're going to do a little role play coming up here in a minute on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.
Oh, great.
By the way, if the Lions do lose Aaron Glenn and he becomes a head coach, they are awarded 2 third-round picks.
Oh.
Yeah, two third-round picks.
Like one for 2025?
I think they're 2026 and 2027. Okay. I don't think you get it for this coming draft. But the weirdest thing is, do you remember it felt like forever the Lions could not get anything out of the second round?
Yeah.
Is the third round been a challenge? Maybe not.
Oh, I mean, second round they took, even on Brad Holmes, they had the one draft, which was spectacular. But they also
Portland Branch.
Yeah, they've taken Onyeka. Wasn't he a second round pick?
Onyeka was a second round pick.
So what are his second round picks? Because obviously
Onyeka, Pascal. Mm-hmm. Then he had the two studs, Laporta and Branch, last year, Rakestraw. Third round picks. He didn't have a third-round pick last year. He took Hooker and Broderick Martin 2 years ago. Kirby Joseph 3 years ago. Lee McNeil and Fatu Malafamu 4 years ago. So two third-round picks.
We all know about Broderick Martin.
Two third-round picks. He could do some work with two third-round picks.
Yeah, well, the other thing is he uses those to move up.
Yes, he does. Well, he can use them to move up if he so chooses, but... Yeah, that's part of it. Ben Johnson has addressed the media today in Chicago, and we'll play some for you coming up. Kang, do you think it's an apt description that Ben Johnson's coming in hot?
He's coming in hot. Mm-hmm. He's coming in confident like a man who's been to Buc-ee's.
Oh, like a man who had a sit down in a clean bathroom and got to spend the time he needed without any
thoughts.
Fear of anything.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And come on out, feel refreshed.
Mm-hmm. No rush. Yeah, all that. Just took his time.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly how he sounded.
Okay. Gator?
Doug?
It's that time of year.
I don't know if I've ever been sadder to hear that music than I am right now.
Yeah, it still feels.
It hurts. It
sucks.
I mean, I know we have to focus on what's next, where you're looking at, but it's been nice to not have to do that in the month of January.
It was nice not have to do it in October.
Yeah. Alas, here we are. You got a mock draft.
Did you see who came out with a mock draft today?
No. I haven't looked at the mock draft.
Let me just start with this and say that this is not a guessing game. This is a what would you do if you were Brad Holmes game, right?
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Sure.
We have Fresh Mel.
Oh.
So this is?
This is the good stuff.
The good stuff.
This is the good stuff.
Fresh Mel. Are you ready?
This is the madman.
With the first pick. The first pick in the Tennessee Titans select Cam Ward, quarterback, Miami. Now, what we're going to do is we're working our way through this first round, and we'll tell you who's still on the board when the Lions pick.
Okay.
And again, it's not a guessing game. What did Mel do? It's what would you do? So if you haven't seen this, you can play along. And we will expect your text messages. And Gator, I want your pick. So we'll give you some of the big names that go off the board and players that might be interesting to our local audience as we work our way through this. So first pick, Cam Ward, quarterback, Miami, goes to Tennessee. At two, the Cleveland Browns select Travis Hunter, wide receiver, cornerback from Colorado. At three, the New York Giants take Shedeur Sanders. At four, Abdul Carter, the edge rusher, outside linebacker from Penn State, goes to the Patriots.
He's awfully good.
Probably won't be around at 28.
No. I think he might be my favorite player in the draft.
At five, Jacksonville takes Mason Graham, defensive tackle, Michigan. Other interesting picks that impact us here in Detroit or have some local flavor. Will Johnson, cornerback, Michigan, goes nine to New Orleans.
Who do the Jets take?
Mykel Williams, outside linebacker from Georgia.
Say that because that's likely where Aaron Glenn's going.
Bears take Will Campbell, tackle guard from LSU.
Okay. Yep. That makes sense for the Bears.
Tackle from Texas goes to San Francisco at 11, Calvin Banks Jr. Luther Burden, the wide receiver from Missouri, goes to Dallas at 12.
What? Ashton Jeanty doesn't go to the Cowboys at 12?
Tyler Warren, tight end from Penn State, goes to Indianapolis at 14.
It's a good pick for them.
Other players of interest that might impact Detroit. Jeanty does go 20 to Denver.
20?
Yep. Omeka Egbuka goes to Pittsburgh at 21, wide receiver, Ohio State. Colston Loveland, tight end, Michigan, goes to the Chargers at 22. Alas, Mike Green, outside linebacker, edge rusher from Marshall, goes to Green Bay at 23.
Is that your guy?
I love Mike Green. And he could be in that range if the Lions could get him. Cornerback Benjamin Morrison, Notre Dame, goes to the Vikes at 24. Josh Simmons, tackle from Ohio State, goes to the Texans at 25. Josh Connerly, tackle from Oregon, goes to the Rams at 26. Gator, the Lions are on the clock at 28. I even hate saying that.
Right. No, we're no longer looking at 31 or 32. Now it's down to 28.
Yep. Here's who's on the board for the Lions at 28. James Pierce, the edge rusher, outside linebacker from Tennessee. Nick Scorton, the edge rusher, defensive end from Texas A&M.
Mm-hmm.
Kenneth Grant, defensive tackle from Michigan. Donovan Jackson, guard, Ohio State. Tackle from Minnesota, Ariante Irsere, is available as well. And Walter Nolan, defensive tackle from Ole Miss. Gator, one of those players is the pick. Who would you take if you were Brad Holmes under this situation? Now, I want to start with this before we get to your answer. And we want your text right now at 248-539-9797. I just named six guys that are on the board. One of them is the pick. Who would you take? 248-539-9797. Edge rusher for Tennessee, James Pierce. The edge rusher from Texas A&M, Nick Scorton. Kenneth Grant, the defensive tackle from Michigan. Walter Nolan, defensive tackle from Ole Miss. Donovan Jackson, the guard from Ohio State. Ariante Irsere, the tackle from Minnesota. Who would you take? Now, with six guys there that I think are all really appealing, there's even a couple more. I'm going to go ahead and say that there are going to be some people that want to trade back. For the purposes of this, you can't trade the pick.
Damn it.
But, dude, every single year we see this, we say the same thing. This would be a good pick to trade.
What if I trade up?
Yeah. Oh, is there a player that they just miss out on that you want?
I don't know. I'd have to look at the
Mike Green? You want Mike Green?
I don't know enough about any of these guys, Doug.
Okay. All right, so we want your picks at 248-539-9797. Who would you take? Being here at 28, admittedly, I got to admit, there's a lot more players available than there were when we did this exercise at 32, and it doesn't feel like it's that many spots.
I know where what I'd want to do, and it's just based on, I guess... In my mind, what logic would be in terms of positions as a I don't know enough about each edge rusher to discern who's the best edge rusher out there.
Yet.
Not at this point. However, the logic tells me that there might be a better value with an offensive lineman at that spot. And that's kind of where I'm leaning. I don't know if they need – it sounds like they've already got guards with Mahogany and Manu. So I'd probably lean towards a tackle.
Okay. We'll get your final pick coming up in a moment. We want your text right now. Tell us who you would take. We'll read a bunch of those. Kang, we'll get your pick under these circumstances. And we'll tell you who Mel Kiper takes for the Lions at 28 at 116. In the meantime, Ben Johnson coming in hot. Hear what he had to say at his introductory press conference. It's a bit surprising. We will play it for you this hour as well. Here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, we learned sometimes it takes more than grit that you think you'll need to win in the playoffs. And on these cold Michigan mornings, it also takes grit to drag yourself out from under the warm, cozy blankets and go to the gym. Show some athletics apparel will make you feel like a gritty Superman and keep you committed to your New Year's resolution. Show Some Athletics Apparel has the most comfortable performance hoodies to keep you warm. Their stuff is high quality. I've got some and I love it. It's a Michigan-based athletic apparel company. Clothes that are built to last. Use the discount code GRIT at checkout. Go to showsomerespect.com. That's S-H-O-S-U-M respect.com. All right, here's a feedback from Jilly at work. Kenneth Grant, and you put your head down and run through everyone to get the card to Goodell. Nathan House says Kenneth Grant and McNeil for years would be scary. Stephen Clinton Township says Kenneth Grant. From Wink and Royal Oak, take Kenneth Grant so I don't have to see him be an eagle and hate my life. From an unnamed texter, with the 28th pick of the 2025 NFL draft, the Detroit Lions select the offensive guard from Ohio State, which is Donovan Jackson. I would take Grant out of Michigan, my best player available. David from Detroit. Jim from Macomb says Kenneth Grant, Michigan. Dave in Florida says I wouldn't take any of those, but under this scenario, I'd take Walter Nolan, defensive tackle from Texas A&M. Walter Nolan's Ole Miss. But anyway, Gator, do you have your pick?
So who are the offensive linemen available in this one?
The Aris kid, the tackle from Minnesota, and Donovan Jackson from Ohio State.
I would take the tackle from Minnesota.
Would you?
I'm just going by position. I don't know. I mean, you would know better than I would be about Kenneth Grant. Is Kenneth Grant really that good, or was he really good because he had Mason Graham next to him and vice versa? You know, those are two pretty good defensive tackles, but same time, you know, I saw games where they were, you know, they weren't as good as I thought they were going to be. So, and it's really about, is he as good as I think he is? I don't know. I want to get an offensive lineman because I think there might be more value with an offensive lineman at that point. Defensive tackles, it just seems like there's so much hit or miss with defensive linemen when it comes to the draft. It's just my own personal bias with it. I think you just get more of a feeling with offensive linemen.
When Kenneth Grant tracked down Catron Allen from behind in a foot race, I think that turned a lot of heads in the NFL. One play does not a player make, but he is very disruptive and a freak athlete. So I think it'd be worth the pick. I think Nolan would be worth the pick. I think a lot of these guys, Scorton's really good. I'm hoping Mike Green falls to them. There's a lot of options here that could really, really work to their favor.
And the other thing that'll change everything is what you do in free agency. Are you going to F them picks and make a trade with somebody to get a known commodity, whether it's in the secondary?
I know how much you respect Sean McVay, and you following the McVay approach would be your approach, right?
It's not Sean McVay's approach. It's Les Snead's approach. But and it's Brad Holmes' approach. At some point, they have yet to do it. The Lions have yet to do that. So you got a team that, You know, went to the NFC Championship game last year. They won 15 regular season games this year. And if they weren't banged up, they'd probably be right back in the NFC Championship game, playing for a chance to play for the Super Bowl. Now's the time in my mind that I want to just F them picks, get the guy that's going to put you well over the top, and make it happen.
Well, to be clear, I can be on board with that for sure, depending on who the player is, of course. What would you do? It's not a guessing game about what Mel would do or what you think Brad Holmes would do. What would you do? Kang, what would you do?
I think we got to, first of all, when you do these mock drafts, especially with the Lions, I know it's what we would do, Doug, but you know Brad Holmes doesn't care about position. He's drafting the player, okay? So you throw that out, don't look at, offensive linemen or they need a defensive end or this or that. He's drafting the football player. He's told you this to your face. He's done it with his actions. Running back, linebacker, he didn't care about positional value in the draft. He drafts the football player.
Yep.
So I can be blinded by the position, though, because we all know there's certain weaknesses on this team. You know, there was no pass rush. So right away, you look at the front four. I mean, do they need a DT? Do they need a defensive end? So my eyes automatically go there, Doug. And I look at Grant, and I look at Pierce. And the thing about Grant is, was he good because of Mason Graham? Well, guess what? We have Aleem McNeil here. We have DJ Reader here. I think he'll be pretty good, too, if he lines up next to one of those two guys as well.
Fair.
But I think outside, it's a really... You're working on your own almost a lot of times, you know? Yes, you'll have Hutch on the other side, so maybe they chip on that side instead. But a lot of times you're you know, one-on-ones. And James Pierce, he's got the size, the prototypical size you want it from an outside rusher, 6'3", 245, 250. I'm sure it'll bulk up a little bit. As of today, I would take James Pierce because I just think they need that guy opposite Hutch so bad. You saw what happened when Hutch went down. He still leads the team in sacks. He played 4.5 games. He has 7.5 sacks. You know who second on the team in sacks was? Smith with 4 sacks. And he's not an every down player. He's just not. I'm not sure if they're going to bring him back or not. I'd go James Pierce, Tennessee defensive end.
Well, the pick is in. And with the 28th pick of the 2025 NFL Draft, Mel Kiper for the Detroit Lions selects James Pierce Jr., outside linebacker, Tennessee. He writes, even with Aiden Hutchinson back in the picture next season, Detroit can't let the Super Bowl window slip away because the pass rush doesn't have enough juice. The Lions, 37 sacks, tied for 23rd in the NFL this season. They were also 25th in pass rush win rate at 35.4%. Injuries wore down the Lions' defense, but there weren't enough playmakers there to begin with. Even after the midseason trade for Za'Darius Smith, Pierce needs to build on a 6'5" frame, but his speed could make the difference in Detroit. He mixes up pass rush moves and gets home to the quarterback with 17.5 sacks over the past 2 seasons. So there you go. That is who the Mel Kiper selects in this mock draft 1.0 for the Detroit Lions at 28.
You just have to hope that need lines up with player, you know? Because we all know Brad Holmes is going to pick the best player available. So I'm just hoping it just lines up with defensive end or tackle or defensive tackle, because I just really feel they need some more help up front.
Well, they do. And maybe the best addition in the offseason is just getting healthy. Somebody called on Monday's show, Kang. You didn't hear this, but somebody called on Monday's show and said, they're going to add 7 defensive free agents with all of the guys that are getting healthy. It's what it's going to feel like. So there you go. All right. So we got this Ben Johnson sound.
All right.
And we haven't been able to hear the whole press conference. And by the way, speaking of which, tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., Brad Holmes will address the media. And we are carrying it live here on 97.1.
Oh, what time is that?
At 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. So we have that to look forward to. But this is interesting. Ben Johnson in his Chicago job, I would describe this as coming in hot. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think you're trying to, you know, win over a fan base, win the press conference, which means nothing other than it builds some momentum and people get excited. But does it have anything to do with winning and losing? Not really. But here's what he had to say about taking the job in the NFC North with the Chicago Bears.
Sorry. Savage. Look at that. If that doesn't win over the Bears fans right away, I don't know what does.
So, what's funny is, I mean, he's basically saying about the division, I want that smoke.
Yeah.
And then he points out the two coaches up for coach of the year. He's the third, and there's nothing he enjoys more than beating the fourth twice a year.
Little whiny Matt LaFleur.
So, I got to tell you, if we were doing talk radio in Green Bay,
oh boy,
this would be the topic until next season. He's calling out Matt LaFleur?
You think Matt LaFleur just picked up his phone and goes, what the hell?
Yeah, yeah. What did I do?
What? Huh?
He's got to be pissed. And you know him, he does get pissed. Anything will rattle that guy.
Oh, he always looks like he's about to cry.
Dude. That's something else.
He caught a stray. That's not even, you're right. That's not even catching a stray. That's just, he's like looking to his left and somebody says, Matt LaFleur. He's like, what? Huh? Me? What? Why? Huh? Dude. Well, that just fired up the fan base of the Bears for sure.
Yep. Which, look,
and the Packers. Packers are like, all right, hot shot.
If you are, if you're taking a job anywhere, you do what he's done. There's nothing wrong with what he's doing here. I do feel like there's a little, like, he's not interested in making friends. You know,
clearly
that is an example of coming in hot. Something else, huh?
I love it. I think it adds more spice to the division. It makes it fun. Look, he was reverent about Dan Campbell. And he just took a shot at their big rival with Green Bay. Obviously, all four teams here in this division have a tremendous rivalry against each other. It's pretty cool about the NFL when you think about it. The rivalries within each division, I mean, you compare it to like baseball. Sure, the Tigers have rivalries with each one of these teams, but is it as intense as it is in the NFL when you look at the NFC North?
No, and it's one of the reasons why I actually like the playoff format. I know it's taken a lot of heat given that a 14-win team just had to go on the road as a wild card. But the in-division stuff makes the season better. And it's rivalries, and it's they're playing for something. What I can't figure out here is whether or not Ben Johnson is the next Sean McVay, and by that we mean the young offensive mind that, you know, goes on and has great success, or is he the next Josh McDaniels that as soon as you took him away from the head coach and put him out there in the real world on his own, he flamed out. And I don't know which he is going to be. I feel like right now, he made sure that there are three fan bases, and really probably two. he doesn't care about what any of the others think about him. He is trying to appeal as best he can to the fan base that supports his team now.
Yeah, and the other thing with Ben Johnson is we always talk about the offense because he's an offensive coordinator, right, and taking this job. That's only a part of it. You got to find a way to be better defensively. You got to find your special teams guy, and apparently they've located those guys, but that's on him too because he's the head coach. So it's a different animal altogether when you become a head coach and you leave your coordinator job.
So Ben's been taking a lot of heat for staying in the division from fans, and I get it. And even so, that saying that, hey, it's a tough division in general, why would you want to stay in here, right? But I think Ben took it as, I'm familiar with the foes in this division. We play six games against the NFC North, and I know them pretty well from what I do with the Lions. I think this gives me actual advantage to going elsewhere,
sure,
like to the AFC West, where I haven't scouted them as much, you know? So I think he knows the division. He's comfortable with the division. He's comfortable taking shots at other coaches in the division.
That
he is. Really?
So he's ready to go, man. It should be fun.
Like, if you think back on it, it would be like, based on that analysis, which I agree with, you'd either take a job with the NFC North or the AFC West, because it feels like the Lions have played those teams a million times in the last couple of years.
But you're guaranteed six games in this division.
Yeah, exactly. No, it makes total sense when you talk it out.
I seriously can't believe he went that hard at Green Bay and LaFleur. And you're right. He's got to be like, what the hell?
Dude.
248-539-9797. 97 won the ticket.
Look, sometimes it's really hard to find great service. So when you get great service, you want to let people know about it so they can also receive great service. Precision Garage Door is amazing. Right now, your garage doors are really under a lot of stress with all the cold. It can wreak havoc with those parts, the springs, the rollers, the moving parts. Well, they can break when the temperature drops. And when we got degrees, we were 5 degrees below zero last night and into this morning, and the wind chills are as bad as they are, you got to be worried about that, and I'm sure you are. So if you need service on those garage doors, if they're making funny noises, get Precision out. They'll take a look at it. And if you need new garage doors, this is the company to go to. It's the company I went to when I needed new garage doors. It's the company I went to when I just needed some maintenance and some repairs. So give them a call today. They're awesome. 1-800-DOOR-REPAIR or schedule at precisiondoormi.com.
All right, here we go. Feedback coming into the Ben Johnson comment where he says, I wanted to be in this division. Great respect for this division. There's two great coaches in this division up for coach of the year, and I love beating the other one twice a year, Matt LaFleur. Wow. feedback coming in, and I had this thought as well, and it's been mentioned. This is from an unnamed texter. Ben Johnson must have a great relationship. They must be buddies. I assume he's talking about LaFleur. No way that Ben Johnson says that about LaFleur unless they rib each other all the time. There is that area where you either are incredibly close or mortal enemies where you'd say the exact same thing. If you are really close to somebody, you give them that kind of hard time, or if you're mortal enemies, you might say that.
Like, I wonder what was said after that comment, or did anybody follow up with a question of why the vitriol towards Matt LaFleur and Green Bay? And did he double down?
David Casca writes in, I was peed at Ben Johnson. You played that clip now? I love him again. Unnamed texter, that's going to come back to haunt him. I mean, it might. It probably has little to do with his success or failure as a coach. I don't think it's going to get in the way of him being a great coach, nor do I think it is because he did this, he is launching himself into an elite career as an NFL coach. So I don't really think it necessarily comes back to haunt you. If he is destined to fail, he'll get cited all the time and he'll get made fun of. You know, I mean, you've had legendary moments with press conferences. The bar is high, right?
It's even higher.
Yeah. You know?
I think that would that pales in comparison to what.
But do you think about
what he just said?
What is it? 9-8 wasn't good enough, or 8-8 wasn't good enough? Isn't that what Bob Quinn said? About letting Jim Caldwell go.
9-7.
9-7.
9-7. Yeah. 9-7 wasn't good enough. He never matched that again.
No.
That came back it didn't keep him. He was going to be bad either way.
Right. It's the right thing to say, but if you can't back it up, then you're going to be out of a job, which is what happened. So you can be brash and bold to start, but once the season starts, you got to back it up. I think he'll be fine. I think the Bear. No, there was a comment he made. He said the Bears are a sleeping giant. Mm-hmm. I kind of agree with that. I think the Bears are going to be a team to be reckoned with in the next couple of years. Maybe not this upcoming season, the first year with him there. But I think in year three, in year four of Caleb Williams, I think they're going to be a tough team to beat.
I feel like part of what I believe is going to be put to a test here a little bit with Ben Johnson. I am going back probably about 7-8 years ago, I developed this belief that the coaches in the NFL are more concerned about their leadership qualities and their ability to put together a staff than I am about their X's and O's skill set. And when I think of Ben Johnson, and this may not be accurate, but this is what I think of when I think of Ben Johnson, an elite X's and O's guy. When I think of Aaron Glenn, I think of an elite leader of men. And using my own criteria, probably shade towards Aaron Glenn as opposed to Ben Johnson as a coach, but Ben Johnson might be an elite leader, and Jared Goff would probably tell us that he is. I'm going to be intrigued to see if Ben Johnson can lead an entire football team.
I think that might just be the difference in being an offensive coach and a defensive coach. It feels to me like an offensive coach is, it's about the plays you're putting in there, right? You're an offensive coordinator. You've got to design plays, and you're trying to get that across. It's not about motivation. Defense, to me, it seems like it's so much about motivation and getting guys to just fire
on fire.
Yeah, exactly.
So the one thing about the X's and O's part of it, though, with the offensive guy, it's designing plays to exploit your player's skill sets and to take advantage of the other team's skill sets, which maybe is exactly what you mean. But, you know, you can design the most creative thing in the world. If you don't have the players that can run it,
yeah,
it's a moot point. So you have to be able to design plays that work on the football field with the guys you have and the guys they have. And in Detroit, he had great, great, great weapons. Offensively, there really wasn't a weakness. And so we'll see what he does when he has a team with some weaknesses. Can he still be as effective? Ben Johnson taking a shot at LaFleur. This is an unnamed texter. Ben Johnson taking a shot at LaFleur makes me still want to like him, but he's still in Chicago, so blank him.
It's true. Yep. You can smile. I could smile about that remark. It's a pretty good remark, but I hope the Bears lose every game. Except for maybe two. Go ahead and keep beating Green Bay to make it fun.
We got this one. I want your take. From an unnamed texter, he writes, I'm a Packers fan. I don't care what this dude has to say. It's like when your younger sibling tries to make fun of you, you just push them down and ignore it.
Okay.
Do you believe that this guy doesn't care what this dude has to say?
Not even for half a second.
I think the funny thing is, the way you wrote that sentence tells me you absolutely care. This dude is so dismissive. You mean this coach of a rival?
Look at this division. Now that the season is over for the division, we can say that. How interesting it is from this point on. You got the Bears have a new coach, and it comes from within the division. You've got the Packers, who've now been called out by that coach, which is interesting. But the Packers, I think, probably feel like they underachieved. They maybe even took a step back this year because Jordan Love wasn't anywhere near as good as he was last year. So are they starting to maybe rethink what they have over there? And then you got Minnesota, who won 14 games, but couldn't beat the Lions, couldn't beat the Rams, and now they're questioning everything. Do they need to bring Sam Darnold back or not? Is skinny J.J. McCarthy going to be the guy to lead this team or not? They just gave the coach an extension, so he's going to be there. But, I mean, it feels – and then the Lions have all the motivation in the world because they win the division, yet they fell way short of their goals, and we all know there's a bunch of reasons why. This division is going to be interesting to watch how they jockey for position through free agency and through the draft, and then what emerges when we get to training camp in August.
Here's a fascinating text. The NFC Central is loaded with coaching talent. What coaches in our division will be fired in the next 3 years? Because not all can make it. We know it's win or get fired.
Yeah.
There's truth to it.
Well, they just gave the extension in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. We kind of feel pretty strong about Dan Campbell. Matt LaFleur, sorry. Is he going to be the guy that goes?
I mean, that text is probably spot on. I mean, they all can't keep their jobs forever. Someone's not going to make the playoffs, you know, unless they just kind of take turns making it and missing the playoffs, like maybe the bottom two teams, and they can keep their job that way. But otherwise, usually it's one team that doesn't perform, right? Because the other teams are just too good in the division. Is it Ben Johnson? Is it O'Connell? Is it LaFleur? I'm not going to say it's Dan Campbell.
The one thing about which is good and bad if you're Ben Johnson is the rise of the one and done. Like, that stuff used to never happen. It's happened 5 times in the last 4 years that there's been a one-and-done coach. And so you know, the good news if you're Ben Johnson, if it is, if you are one and done, it's 1 year worth $52+ million, which is what you're guaranteed. Yep. But the bad news is that, you know, you are taking over a tough job in a tough division where you aren't even guaranteed a second year in this NFL anymore.
Yeah, look at Gerard Mayo. Like, he was handpicked be the next guy.
One and done.
One and done. You know, Ben Johnson, you talk about leader of men, and he's a great play caller. We know that. Great. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's kind of like a genius with the X's and O's, right? The way he calls these plays and sets them up and designs them. But it still comes down to it's a player's league. And if you don't have the players to execute these plays, it looks stupid. Like, if you do that double pitch, but no one's blocking for DeAndre Swift, he's dead in the backfield, right? He can't shovel pass it to DJ Moore.
Yep.
He didn't have an offensive line over there. So we'll see how this thing, how much grace they give him in Chicago or how much, you know, work they do on the offensive line his first year. Because you don't have Penei Sewell, you don't have Decker, you don't have Ragnow.
We don't even know if Rome Odunze can throw a pass.
Right?
We've done that yet.
No.
Sorry. That was
too soon, man.
I know. It's ridiculous.
Jeez.
It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
There's nothing like the NFL playoffs. It's one big game after another. And you know what? Big games deserve bigger payouts. That's why FanDuel is giving all customers a same game parlay profit boost every game during the NFL playoffs. It doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or already have an account, you'll score a bigger payout if your SGP hits. So don't just watch from the sidelines. Visit FanDuel.com/Doug to get in on the action. That's FanDuel.com/Doug to get a same game parlay profit boost every game day during the NFL playoffs. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. The opt-in is required. Don't forget to do that. Minimum three-leg parlay required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable profit boost tokens. Restrictions apply, including any token expiration and maximum wager amount. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Man.
What?
Well, we knew it was coming, but just to see it.
Breaking news at this hour, Adam Schefter is tweeting out. New coach in New York, the Jets are hiring former Detroit Lions defensive coordinator Aaron Glenn as their new head coach. Per sources, the former 1994 first-round pick of the Jets became a personnel scout for the team, now is becoming their head coach. The Jets have now hired 7 head coaches since the end of the 2000 season. And with Aaron Glenn, 6 of them have been first-time head coaches with defensive backgrounds. Herm Edwards, Eric Mangini, Rex Ryan, Todd Bowles, Robert Saleh, and now Glenn. The lone exception was Adam Gase. Was he the one with the bizarre bug-eyed press conference to take over when he got that job? So there you go. It's according to Adam Schefter, it's happened. Aaron Glenn is now the next head coach of the New York Jets. So the beginning of the pillaging starts with the coordinators. Question is, does it keep going or is that it?
I hope that's it. I don't want to hear that Fraley's gotten a job to be the offensive coordinator with Seattle. I don't want to hear that Ben Johnson's taking Mark Brunell or Tanner Engstrand with him. I don't want to hear that. We're already losing Terrell Williams, the defensive line coach. He's going to the Patriots to be their DC. I hope Aaron Glenn doesn't poach one of the assistants here. I wish him well. I really do. I like Aaron Glenn a ton. It's going to be tough to win with the Jets. He's got a great – he can work wonders with the defense, and they've got some good players on defense, but offensively,
yeah,
you have no quarterback. Unless Aaron Rodgers wants to come back, do you even want him back? I mean, do the Jets really want to deal with that?
I wouldn't.
I wouldn't either.
But the problem is, here's the – like we just said, 5 1-and-dones in the last 4 years. You're not guaranteed 2 years anymore. You're not guaranteed 4 years. You don't get to put a plan in place. It's almost like you're expected to win right away or there's a chance you're going to be gone. And so you got to decide, is it a rookie? Is it a free agent? Or do I go with this dude? Because this dude's a absolute, I mean, he is a distraction personified. But is he the best you can get to win in year one? And that's a fair question.
Right, because you're right. Now it is about you got to win that first year, which is totally unfair, particularly if you're admitting that you're rebuilding. Mm-hmm. How can you keep doing that? That's completely unfair. I want him to get a legit shot.
I do too.
I think he's going to be a good guy for that team, for that franchise, but they got to trust him.
I'm going to be really intrigued to hear what Aaron Glenn has to say so we can talk about what Ben Johnson had to say and what Aaron Glenn has to say. Ben Johnson, what's clear is, and talking to the people, It's the anybody but the Bears job. You didn't have to take the Bears job. Why'd you take the Bears job? But he took the Bears job, right? So that's a fact. He's the head coach of a division rival, and that sucks. Because as callers have put it, we can't really root for him now, nor do we want to root for him now. We wish you the worst of luck, which feels mean-spirited, but he's in the division. But Aaron Glenn, it's like, I hope he does well.
He's going to take shots at Mike Vrabel now.
Yeah, he's going to enjoy beating Mike McDaniel twice a year. Is he going to say something like that?
Good luck, Frabes.
Right? Yeah, first of all, we're getting texts in already, Doug, and it is the opposite of Ben Johnson. People are like, good luck to Aaron Glenn. You know, hey, great guy, great coach. We wish you nothing but the best. Yep. Ben Johnson, we hate you. Go away.
Well, the thing is, Ben Johnson, I don't know that Ben Johnson, unfortunately, should really care all that much.
Well, I'm sure he doesn't.
Yeah.
Maybe they just needed two Aarons on the Jets, Gator. With Aaron Rodgers and Aaron
Glenn. But here's the other thing. Do you think it's just us, or do you think most people have had it with Aaron Rodgers?
I think most people have.
So he can go there, and he can immediately fire one of the most disliked people in the game? Like,
I think the owner would probably give him the approval to. If you want to move on from him, move on from him. I think it would be awesome if they brought back Zach Wilson.
Dude.
Zach Wilson had a better win percentage there than Aaron Rodgers did.
That's actually pretty amusing.
It's factual. I'm just spitting out facts.
I know.
Sorry, people.
That's your guy.
Man, you found a way to bring him back.
Work with my man, Aaron Glenn.
Don't you want Aaron Glenn to be successful?
Yeah, he can be successful with this guy. A reclamation project.
Because we have no idea who his quarterback coach or offensive coordinator is?
Hey.
You and Evan?
Yep.
Hey,
hey!
Can't argue with
it. You cannot argue with it.
Can't argue with it. I don't know how to respond to that.
Oh, just don't bring back Sam Darnold. Don't do that.
I know, right? That's the other guy.
But even if there's anybody that knows not to bring back Sam Darnold, it's the guy that beat him twice this year, and had him completely rattled. Hey, coach, what do you think about bringing back Sam Darnold? Come on, that player is not coming back.
The thing about that player is he sucks.
Yeah. The thing about that player is he can't get the job done.
That's hysterical. Well, we'll see what happens now, because the question becomes, does he raid the staff? Do either of these guys raid the staff?
Well, and can they only raid the staff for a coordinator, right? I don't know if they can raid them for just bringing a position coach to be their position coach.
No, they can.
Unless the contract is up.
Well, they can give him the old assistant head coach title.
Can they?
That's the workaround, yeah. That's the workaround.
Well, if they give him an assistant head coach title, does that mean we get another draft pick? Or is that only for coordinators becoming head coaches?
I think it's only for coordinators becoming head coaches. Mike Garofalo saying, among strong candidates to join Aaron Glenn's staff with the Jets is former Arizona head coach and Panthers interim head coach Steve Wilks. But Wilkes was a defensive-minded guy. Yep. So that doesn't – I think we're more concerned about him poaching an offensive coach to become his OC. But we'll see. We will see. And now Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell have some work to do.
Yeah, well, now they officially know. I mean, like, they've been working on it for a while, I'm sure. But they now it's official that both coordinators are gone. You need a new defensive line coach. What are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And it may be real simple. They just say, hey, Coach Shepard, congratulations, you're in the D.C. Tanner Engstrom, congratulations, you're our new offensive coordinator.
What about
Mark Brunell, you're our new offensive coordinator. I don't know.
If things don't work
out. Scotty Montgomery.
With whoever they hire as offensive coordinator. And we talk about our scenario.
I already know what you're going to say.
Who doesn't survive the division? The Detroit Lions select or hire Matt LaFleur to be their offensive coordinator.
That would be funny.
Bring it full circle.
Yeah.
It would be amusing.
The possibilities. Mm-hmm.
Just get it right. Still got a ton of talent. That's the most important thing. And they still have an elite general manager that can continue to stock the roster.
It would be nice. If
Michigan native Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, let's stop the bleeding here, right?
Yeah.
Stop the pilfering. It's not the rating of the staff.
Do you think the rating's done? Are we going to lose Fraley?
I mean, I always get nervous when you hear about a second interview that's real. And I don't know. It's an offensive line coach that gets that position. And, you know, Seattle's got weapons to work with offensively, too. At times they look great, and other times, like, they can't even get a yard. They've got some pretty good running backs there. They've got a mobile quarterback, and they've got outstanding receivers. Having an offensive line coach take over that team, I think, might be a really good idea for him.
Yep. All right, Mike and Rico are on deck. Scott the Gator Anderson, what do you suspect they'll be talking about next?
I think they're going to do nonstop mock drafts. We know how much Mike and Rico love the mock draft, and they're going to give it the full due. They're going to lean into it. I think they have at least 5 mock drafts lined up.
That and Bucky's discussion. 97.1 The Ticket.